That Graham Goodwin on the line from Le Mans. Actually, I'm not sure if you're in Le Mans proper or one of the outlying towns for our first Day at Le Mans podcast. But tell us where you are, mate, and how you're doing.
Yeah, c'est moi. And I am in the pretty little village of Arnage, just outside Le Mans. Anybody familiar with the Le Mans area? The aerodrome that sits behind the main grandstands on the outside of the circuit. If you look left from there, you're seeing the outskirts of Arnage Village, and this is the home of the family we've come to spend Le Mans week for something like the last 20 years, and it's a bit of a home from home, something of a part of the culture of covering the Le Mans 24 hours. Is very many people actually effectively have an adopted French family. They've adopted us, and we've adopted them right back.
Aww, that is so cute. Well, this is the first episode of our Day at Le Mans. We're going to endeavor to make this a Monday through Friday thing this week, knowing that once we get into the race weekend, in theory, we have a race going on. So no need to bother folks with a in-race podcast. Hey, Graham, tell us what's happening. And we then post it after it's happened. We will have great comms. Yourself, I know, will be part of that as well. So we can look forward to, as usual, Radio Le Mans taking great care of us for every on-track session and more. But with our own little Marshall Pruitt, Graham Goodwin, Weekend Sports Cars episodes. This is our first little Day at Le Mans special to try and give you a live look in, as close to live as possible, what Graham is seeing, since my behind is home. Unfortunately, not there to ask these questions alongside. So I'm guessing scrutineering topped your list of activities today. What happened? What'd you see? What's going on?
Well, let's start with the weather. Weather has been, between biblical in terms of the storms and the rain, and actually really pretty hot. So very changeable. That's made it pretty steamy for the first couple of days. We had this morning, second day, in fact, a full day of scrutineering in the Place de République in the centre of the city of Le Mans this morning. And yes, we've seen all 60 cars. We've seen almost all the drivers. One or two still got to make their way here from various commitments they've had elsewhere around the planet. So it's been a busy weekend of motorsport elsewhere. But what we don't generally tend to find until we get to the circuit tomorrow is whether or not any of those cars have stumbled with any minor issues to do with scrutineering. It generally tends to be pretty minor, and they basically can re-scrutineer those cars at any time. There will be no major dramas, but the key is, MP, all 60 cars are here. All of the major stars that we're expecting are here. We saw Fernando Alonso in the typical throng of people we saw today and we'll never see again for the rest of the week. Jenson Button yesterday had a quick chat on your and my behalf with your good friend and my new friend, Juan Pablo Montoya.
How was earlier today? Tell us about good old JB and JPM.
Well, JPM in the JSP 217 is, of course, part of the United Autosports set up. I had a chat with him about prospects for a triple crown. He was obviously not interested in that at all. Of course he is. But I think he's got his weather eye on two things. One is the prospect of a good run in a 20-car LMP2 field. And the Ligier looking stronger this year. Certainly not on the pace of the Orica's, but a darn sight closer than it was last year. But you sort of get the impression this is part of a wider plan for Juan Pablo Montoya. And it is about coming back here when the opportunity arises for a more competitive drive at the very front of the grid, whether or not that comes in the next couple of years before the new regulations, or whether or not that comes with the potential for an expanded factory cabal of cars with the new regs from the from Le Mans in 2021. Because, of course, the 2020 regulations won't actually be in place for a season that starts in 2020 and finishes at Le Mans in 2020. It'll be the following season. But I think that's it. I think he has surprised himself with two or three things: how challenging the circuit is, how much fun the circuit is, and not least how competitive this field is. He and Felipe Albuquerque were having great fun, a lot of banter there with the two guys, of course, that share a grid in IMSA Racing, and lots of mutual respect in envisioned there for all to see. I think we've got a cracker of a race on our hands in LMP2. Frankly, I think we've got a cracker of a race in our hands more or less throughout the field, with the exception of the rather less open, full race length we think we're going to have in LMP1, with the Toyotas holding a pretty mighty efficiency advantage. However, a lot of the talk of them running away with this, I think, is now taking rather the second place to the strand that says, I wonder how Toyota are going to mess this one up. Mm. Or, you know, let's not write that script before we start. That is tending to be rather more the tone of the conversations up and down the spectator areas, up and down the media room. The cynicism strain has been taken over by, I think, a love of this sport. And people, I think, just want to see that race and would love to see something that comes in and maybe forces at least one of the Toyotas in the early running to see whether or not they might have to chase for this.
Are you trying to tell me there's pessimism in the press room? I mean, I will not hear such heresy.
It's never happened in my time. Well, and then I tend to turn up.
Speaking of, wasn't there a bomb scare today as well, Graham?
Oh, was there a... Yes. That was, borderline hilarious.
And I don't mean just someone trying to enter a pill beam in LMP2 in terms of bomb. I mean an actual bomb scare.
Yeah, someone was genius enough to leave a large unmarked bag in the media area just before Fernando Alonso made his way out from the administration checks and into the area where there is a bit of a what we might call a mix zone, and is basically the opportunity for the media to get some one-on-one interviews. That happened almost at that moment.
An enterprising person like yourself grab some gaffer's tape and a Sharpie and write dynamite and stick it on the bag? I mean, come on. There are opportunities here, Graham.
Some of the listeners that know my past career will understand that I have been involved in matters of anti-terrorism policy in the past, and I have to say, if this was their reaction to a major incident, it wasn't very impressive. They moved the media back all of, I would suggest, maybe 10, 15 feet, and didn't move public at all. And Fernando himself was actually sitting down and doing a one-to-one TV interview no more than 20 feet away from the set. The reality was, of course, it was a bomb scare. They were trying to take things as seriously as they possibly could.
Sure.
We got back to the time-honored process of jostling each other in the media area pretty soon afterwards, and all was well. Did we even bother to try to speak to Fernando? No, we didn't, actually. There were an awful lot of TV crews and media taking interest in that. It is a very different feel this year to the Le Mans 24 Hours. The concentration, I would say, certainly from the more mainstream media, is very much more on the 2, 3, 4 principal personalities rather than the cars, with the honourable exception of what looks increasingly set to be an absolutely amazing GT Pro battle to come.
Yeah, we saw that last year when Fernando rocked up, and it was interesting. It was just quite interesting to see a flood of interest internationally and other outlets domestically that might not have cared about the Indy 500 as much. Plenty interesting to see how much attention that Fernando generated. Similarly, not a surprise, same thing this year with Danica Patrick turning up to Indianapolis for the first time since 2011. And as I read in many article comments and saw many notes, Graham, both on Twitter and Facebook, folks offering some sort of, man, I hope this doesn't turn into the Danica 500, where seemingly every article, everything has some sort of slant towards the darling of the event. Do you have any feel? I know it's early. I mean, we're talking Monday here of race week. But do you have any feel from either what you've seen or general comments that you've heard within the media as to whether, instead of this being the traditional annual celebration of the race and its participants, that it might be more heavily skewed towards some of the Montoyas, Alonzos, Buttons, to the detriment of the overall honoring we're accustomed to?
I think the inevitability is that there will be some in the media pack that will edge towards that way. I think the time-honored fashion, certainly for our friends at Radio Le Mans, and I'm involved in that broadcast, will be the race is king. Always has been, always will be. Will that ignore the impact and the contributions of those incredibly skillful and well-known people? Of course it won't. But it's all about the race. That's why they're here. Let's not forget it. They're not here just for a fashion parade. They're here to try to win. And that's the story, is the efforts of Jenson Button, the efforts of Fernando Alonso, the efforts of Juan Pablo Montoya to do the best they possibly can against this fantastic race, this fantastic racetrack and some fabulous cars. We've got so many stories that are going to come from this week, not least the race itself, but also we will, by the time we get to race day, MP, and it's something we can talk about, I know, later in the week, be hearing the vision that the ACO and others will have, and indeed the future beyond that. So 2020 regulations and an idea about what we might see with a bit more futurology with 2024 is what we're hearing. And I think there we might start to whisper the word hydrogen being potentially on the agenda. Why do we think that? We think that because the fabulous Matt Fernandez, one of DSE's roving reporters and actually a man born here in Le Mans, born in fact at Tête Rouge, the hospital there that Pierre Fillon actually is a surgeon at in his day job. But what he dug out reports for one of the local planning committees that shows the ACO are about to spend a very large amount of money completely remodeling the main grandstand and pits complex in time for the centennial of the race in 2023. And that will include making sure that there is infrastructure in that pit complex for hydrogen and other alternative fuels. So they are planning for the next stage of technology. This is, again, challenging one of those slightly lazy assumptions that people are very wedded to hybrid technology and nothing else. No, they're not. What they're doing is that they're looking forward to what they believe is going to be the next step forward in not just electrification of racing and of the wider kind of road-going fleet, but also what alternative fuels might actually be looking for the next stage beyond that. So let's wait and see. Lots, I think, we're going to be hearing on Friday. Before then, of course, we get to go racing. Tomorrow is allegedly a day off, but it's where we start to hear some of the fallout from the stories over the last couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to close on two things. Before we get to what tomorrow might look like, I mean, I know what it looked like and was for me for many years when I was there, but we'll get to that last. I believe you had an interesting dinner tonight with some valuable mates at the table and those who might have opinions on where the sport is headed. Can you tell us about some fine dining this evening in Le Mans?
I can tell you about the food, which was stunning. I can't tell you anything about the conversation. It was an off-the-record dinner. It is something that happens from time to time in terms of a bit of an information exchange. Didn't give us any influence or inference on what we're going to hear on Friday, but certainly edging towards a bit of an open door policy to shaping what happens next with the World Endurance Championship and sports car racing. Very open conversation. Great to actually see that. You know, you and I and our friends and colleagues in the press rooms on both sides of the Atlantic are invested in this great sport of ours. Indeed, are the drivers, the sponsors, and very many other people. And perhaps the sport hasn't been very good at talking to each other about those good ideas, or listening to each other, rather, about some of those good ideas out there that could make sometimes a small difference, sometimes a much larger difference. Maybe, just maybe, as we get into more challenging times economically for everybody involved, we're beginning to get to the stage where more people are deciding that that listening mode might be a good way forward to get something more sustainable moving forward. Hopefully, you know, where we've been over the last couple of weeks, the last couple of days, and this evening might be a step towards that. But in terms of the detail, with apologies to listeners, gave assurances we wouldn't be discussing it externally. We're not going to do that.
Well, we'll just suggest that you had dinner with Gerard Butler and Pierre Gasly. How's that? So you had
that's almost completely correct.
Okay, I love it, and I'm hoping in those conversations you offered suggestions on reducing, not eliminating, but reducing the number of bear attacks on Canadians racing at Le Mans. So, fingers crossed.
Paul Dell'Alana was present at scrutineering today. We did just keep a weather eye on whether or not that might be the case. One thing I will actually say, by the way, just as a little snippet here, had an excellent conversation, and you have very few conversations that are different from that level. With Timo Bernhard, talked about the Porsche effort here for cars, but you won't be surprised that part of the conversation was about the potentially one of the next efforts with that hashtag 919 hybrid. Big twinkle in the eye of Timo Bernhard, who's been out testing with the team and the car on the Nordschleife ahead of what's expected to be a possible run for a record run with that car on that fabulous track in the coming weeks and months. There will be more to say on that one. I'll share some thoughts on that. Potentially a piece we can run with Racer as well as with DailySportsCar.com. But suffice to say, in the debate about that car and that effort, there's been a lot said about perhaps a lack of respect for history. There's no lack of respect about the way in which Porsche, and in particular Timo Bernhard, are going around the potential for a history-making several moments at the Nordschleife. You can read about that in the days to come.
Anybody who would complain about a lack of respect for history when it comes to breaking records, setting records, and advancing the sport, I would love to have a conversation with those people because they are not racers. Would apologize as well here. Graham, mind you, is doing his best on Wi-Fi that is doing its absolute best, but I know we've had a couple dropouts in our call here, so just assume that whatever was lost was some sort of massive breaking exclusive scoop, and that he will hopefully clue us in tomorrow. All right, last thing before we wrap on our short form day at Le Mans, episode number one, Graham. What's on tab for tomorrow, knowing that, good Lord, before long, cars are on track, making noise, and getting after it come Wednesday?
Well, tomorrow is the final day here with no track action. That's very frustrating for some. It's very good for us. We can play a bit of catch up with some of the stories that we've got in the can, if you like, but not yet on the web from scrutineering and from, of course, conversations up and down pit lane and paddock tomorrow. But there'll be a lot of chatter. There'll be a lot of just putting the detail together on some of the strands we're trying to draw together, who's in good shape, who's not. We'll be telling you a lot more about that in tomorrow's little show. We'll see whether or not we can't persuade a guest to come and have a quick chat about direction of one or two of the more newsworthy efforts, some at the front of the grid, some perhaps not at the front of the grid, but lots of chatter. And then on Wednesday, we get into track action. The public roads closed in the evening. We get the support races, the Road to Le Mans and the Aston Martin Festival races, and then into free practice and then the first qualifying session on Wednesday, running up to about this time of the day. In fact, half an hour from now, midnight, is when qualifying will finish on both Wednesday and Thursday. We qualify well into the night. It's a very exciting time at Le Mans. You start to see the crowds arriving, and for me, that's a really magical time.
Amen to that, Brother Graham. And I need to get busy. I've got a whole bunch of podcasts that I need to get cranked out after this. I have about a 45-minute or so interview that I did with our mutual pal Andy Blackmore, talking about a little bit of his history, but primarily the creation of his absolutely ace 24-hour of Le Mans spotter guide, what goes into that. So I've got that to spool up. Spoke with our boy Al, Mr. Alan McNish, on the 20th anniversary of his very first Le Mans win. Spoke with Andy Wallace for a piece on the 30th anniversary of Jaguar's 1988 Le Mans win. And I meant to speak with team manager Tony Dow here shortly to include him in that. And we've got some other little things I'm trying to get done. So it's going to be a busy week of podcast listening, hopefully in addition to our little daily item here. Plus, tomorrow we are going to turn all of the awesome questions that have been coming in for our listener-driven Q&A, thoughts, opinions, and otherwise, 24-hour of Le Mans preview. So we're going to be back tomorrow with not only the week in sports cars with Graham Goodwin, but also our day at Le Mans as well. And yeah, get your ears ready. get the Q-tips out, get everything all nice and tuned up, because we're going to be throwing lots of great audio at you this week. All right, my man, well, it's late. Get Kilby or someone to tuck you into bed, get you, you know, a little chocolate or something, and we will speak tomorrow.
Good stuff, my man. Stay with us. Lots and lots more to come from the middle of France in the most important week in sports car racing every year. That's Le Mans week.
On dailysportscar.com, and also some of the good work passed along as well at racer.com. All right, GG, I will speak to you tomorrow.
Good night, all.